Welcome to Journey Church On Demand. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit us online at journeychurchdfw.com.
Excited, I want to welcome you to week three. It's the final week of our series, When Pigs Fly. And we talked about the idea, when we say when pigs fly, it's a sarcastic statement. It's a, yeah, that's not going to happen statement, right? Somebody says, oh, this will happen when pigs fly. Most people here, we're going to hopefully have that lobby done in 4 weeks when pigs fly. I'm believing God, I got a miracles, right? We're believing God. But week one, we talked about the miracle of healing. And I shared on social media, I know of at least two healing miracles that happened in this house that morning. Two. Now, you know what? If you're one of the two that the miracle happened to, you're going to be more than, that's a big deal. Bodies were healed. We had somebody who couldn't feel their feet. God healed them. We had someone else who had a horrible scratch on their cornea. God completely healed it. God's moving. God is moving in the house. Last week, Pastor Michael did an incredible job talking about miracles of protection and how God is a God that protects. And this morning, we're going to finish this series up by talking about miracles of provision. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so very much because you are an incredible God. Thank you that you're in this house. Speak to us this morning. Stretch us, Lord. Let us meet with you. Let us walk out of here differently than how we came in. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Now, I want to just be real for a minute. Can I do that? In my world, and probably most people's worlds, money can be a little tight, right? Anybody in here like, no, not an issue. I'm just rolling in it. You know, I blow my nose in 20s. Anybody? Because I'm coming to your house for your Kleenexes. Just saying. You know, but the thing is, there are a lot of us, we stress over things. We can look at it and it can be stressful. Very few people in this world could say that money is never, ever a concern, ever. Some stress over every little dime. Some stress over less or stress a little bit less. You know, you might be in this house, you might be a single parent. Or you might be watching online and you're a single parent with on a limited income and you're raising multiple kids and you're looking at all that. And honestly, you more often than not have more month than you do money. Or maybe you're the other end of the spectrum and you're like, man, I've got a six-figure income, but I got six-figure expenses. You can have more money, but it's still stressful. All of the expenses are there. You're still feeling the stress of that. Maybe you're like me, and in all honesty, you have a lot of college debt. Now, God's blessed me. I'm in a process, and the next few years, mine will be paid off. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and thankfully, it's not a train. God's blessing, okay? But the college debt can be crippling, or maybe medical bills. How many of you know medical bills can be staggering and burdensome? I mean, there's so many things that can really, just really push down on us, or just the outrageous cost of paying for insurance. My goodness gracious, my insurance premiums are, I'm going to have to go get like a seventh and eighth job. It's a lot of money. Or you know what, you're just doing things like paying for braces. Not cheap. Or maybe your kids are in all kinds of different events. Maybe they're in baseball and basketball and choir and underwater basket weaving and whatever it could be. They're just in all these expenses or all of these different events. And how many of you know they play Little League Baseball? When I played Little League Baseball, we got a t-shirt with a number on it and a hat. You know? And we're out there playing and the fields were like this and you just prayed it didn't pop up and hit you in the mouth. Now apparently we're raising major leaguers. You know? Oh, I have to have a $7,000 bat. Maybe it's just me. Anyways, sometimes money can be very, very tight. And so we find ourselves really struggling with that. But can I tell you, you see examples of people in Scripture who never had enough. At least it didn't seem to. See, I want you to understand this morning, in every story of need, there is a miracle of provision. In every story of need, there is a miracle of provision. You see the story of Jesus where there are thousands of hungry people on the hillside. He tells his disciples, you go feed them. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Could you imagine the pressure of that? Jesus looks at you and goes, you go take care of that. You go feed them. Could you imagine? They must have been like, What do we have here? We got 5 loaves, 2 fish. We'll make this work. But Jesus took what they had. The Bible says he multiplied it. And there was so much left. There were 12 disciple-sized baskets left over. They had doggy bags. There was all kinds of stuff. It was there. They were provided for. How about if you go back and look at Elisha? Elisha's talking to a widow. She's fearful of the future. Many of us find ourselves fearful of the future. And he asks her, what do you have? What's in your possession right now? She says, nothing really. I have a small jar of oil. What does he tell her to do? Pour it out. And as long as she had containers coming in, the oil kept flowing. The miracle was there when there wasn't enough. I don't think you're hearing me this morning. The miracle was there when there was not enough. We want miracles. We talk about miracles. But how many of you know you have to be in a position for a miracle to happen? We want to be like, you know, all life's going good. Everything's great. And I just want miracles on top of it. No, we find ourselves usually in a position where we need the miracle. And in the place of need, that's where the provision comes about. Think about the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they're wandering through the desert. And they're moving around and boom, they find a Panera Bread. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe not. It was, but they had manna every day. And the cool thing is, the last day they had it twice, so they didn't even have to work on the Sabbath. God's constantly providing. We see time and time and time again, God's blessing and he's providing. Elijah, you realize this? Elijah, God sends him to a brook and then uses birds to bring him meat and bread. Birds. I don't think we understand this. We just kind of go past that. These birds brought him food for quite a while. We see that Jonah, he's in rebellion. He's drowning and God still sends a big fish. There's always a time of miracle. In every story of need, there's a story of provision every time. I heard a story. I've heard this several times and maybe some of you have heard this and I love it. There was a woman. She was in a place of need. And so she would go into her apartment every day and she'd throw her hands up in the air and she'd say, Jesus, I know you're going to provide my needs. I know you're going to provide my needs. You're going to take care of me. You're going to meet my needs. And she said it day in and day out and day in and day out, over and over and over and over. She cried that out. Well, finally, there's a guy who he lived in the apartment complex and he hated God. And he was so tired of listening to her say that over and over and over again. So finally, he decides to go to the grocery store himself. He buys a bunch of groceries, sets it outside her door, and then he goes off and he hides to watch. She comes home. She sees the groceries there. She throws her hands up. She goes, oh, Jesus, I knew you would provide. I knew you would take care of my needs. And the guy jumps out and he looks at her and says, you fool. There is no God. God didn't do that. I did it. He's not a good God. He didn't take care of those things. And the woman, she looks at him and she looks up to heaven, throws her hands up again. She goes, Jesus, you're even better than I thought because you provided for my needs and you made the devil pay for it. All right, well, I giggle every time I read that. Fact of the matter is, Paul tells us in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God's a giver of good things. He takes care of us and he does it abundantly. But I need to be clear on something with you for just a minute. God meets your needs. He doesn't necessarily always meet your wants. Ooh, how real is that? How often do we tell our kids that? Guess what? You don't need the newest iPhone. As I see several over here in my corner going, my kids do too. I get it. But we don't need that. And I want us to understand there is a very real difference because God meets our needs, but not necessarily our wants. For example, you need clothes. You don't need a Coach bag or a Michael Kors purse or those newest LeBrons. Some of you are like, hey, man. No, just listen to me. Some of you, you know, we need rest. you want that 14-day vacation in the Caribbean. I'm with you. If somebody wants to take me, I'm in. I'm your man. Holler at me. You know, you need shelter. You want that Chip and Joanna Gaines mid-century farmhouse with the granite countertops and the wood floors, right? You want the 4K TV and the three-car garage for our two cars and that muscle car that I'm praying for, amen? Am I right? Oh, come on. We can have fun a little bit. But do you see the difference between wants and needs? Do you see the difference that's there? Is there anything wrong with wanting them? Absolutely not. I've got a long list of wants. Is there anything wrong with possessing them? No, but understand they're not needs. And the difference is that the difference between a want and a need, God provides the need. So let's talk about three areas of miraculous provision, three principles. The first one is when God guides, he always provides. When God guides, he always provides. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. I need you to understand this morning that God doesn't always fund your dreams and your ambitions, but he always funds his will. He always funds his will. When you and I are walking in sync with what God has for us, then his purposes, then we see his provisions at work. We tend to think, God, where are you? I've got a mortgage or a car payment I can't afford. Where are you? You know, I felt like I was supposed to book this vacation, but I'm still paying on Christmas from 2009. All my Dave Ramsey fans were like, Is it possible? I'm just going to kind of get in your business for a minute. Is it possible God provided your needs, but you spent it on your wants? Who said that? Man, I think there's something to understand. God's provision, I'm just going to finish this up. I'm already here. God's provision for us is not a get out of jail free for our stupid decisions. You want me to stop? I kind of want me to. Y'all don't see what I see. I'm just going to hide right here. You know, I want you to get this and understand this morning. Some of you are like, there's no dignity. I'm sorry. But here's what I want you to understand, that God provides in the area of needs. He takes care of us. Look at the life of Abraham. More than anything else they wanted was a child, and not just a child, they wanted a son. And so they prayed and they waited, and they prayed and they waited, and they prayed and they waited, and they waited some more. Okay? They waited for a long time. And all of a sudden, God finally, he provides a son, right? And then God comes to Abraham later on and says, hey, I want you to take the boy and sacrifice him. Now, how many of you know Abraham did not tell Sarah what was going on? That's just my opinion. As a married man, I'm thinking he didn't. So I just picture it, though, in my head. Abraham is taking Isaac, and they've got the fire, they've got the knife, they've got all those things, and the servants, and they're going, and they see Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, spelt with an O. That's where we got our daughter's name, Moriah, M-O-R-I-A-H. And in the Hebrew, it means God is my teacher. They were going to a place where God was going to be their teacher. And as they're approaching that mountain, I cannot imagine the things that are going on in Abraham's brain. As a father, I'm telling you, there's nobody I like more outside of my wife than my three kids. I wouldn't do hardly anything if it meant something. I just can't imagine that. But they're going and they see the mountain, and Abraham looks and he tells the servants, you guys stay here. The boy and I are going to go from here. And then they start walking towards the mountain, and I just picture it in my head. Isaac's looking and going, we got the fire and we got the knife. Where's the sacrifice? And look what Abraham tells him in Genesis 22:8. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. And I think Abraham, going into it, knew the chances were real good that if he ended up taking his life and ended him, that God would resurrect him. I think Abraham knew that. But if he didn't, I think Abraham simply said, I'm going to trust God in this. And he's going up the mountain with his son. And what I find is so amazing, they get up to the top of the mountain. Okay, and you'll notice, they get up there, and he actually lays Isaac on the altar. And he ties him down. Now, I don't know about you and me. I'd be like, God, I'm looking for that provision. He places his son on the altar. And I need you to understand, because Abraham courageously obeyed, he radically obeyed God. And hear me when I say this, obedience, radical obedience always precedes provision. I don't think you picked that up. Radical obedience always precedes provision. If you're looking for the miracle, miraculous provision, you better be radically obedient leading into that. Are you with me? So I want us to understand this morning that as we're looking at this radical obedience, he ties his son down and he takes the knife and he draws it back. And all of a sudden he's here, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't lay a hand on that boy. I know you fear God. And then Genesis 22:13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And I want you to follow me on this. Abraham was living a life that was fixed on the will of God. How many of us spend our lives fixed on our lack? He was living a life focused and fixated on the will of God. Too often we focus on our lack. Can I tell you, this is for somebody. The time has come where the church stops acting like spiritual beggars. Okay? We are children of the Most High God. And I'm telling you, we are his sons. We are not beggars. We are not without. God will take care of us. We need to start operating with a mindset that says, you know what? I'm going to be a beggar. No, I'm a son of God. And if he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills, don't you think he's going to take care of me? We've got to shift this spiritual financial mindset that says we got to just do enough to get by. Now, hear me. I am not a prosperity preacher, but I am wanting you to walk in blessings. There's a big difference there, because if we'll pursue his will, his provisions will always follow. When I felt led to start moving us toward the charge, the charge is our vision campaign, okay? It scared me. Can I be real? Can I just be real with you for a couple minutes? I knew God dropped on my heart to challenge this church to give $350,000 in 3 years. $350,000 in 3 years. Guess who was, we were making our bills, but we were not rolling in it, okay? It was like, you want me to what? Because guess what? You divide that up over 3 years, you divide it up per year, that was roughly 25% of our general fund income. Okay, let's ask people to give an additional 25% a year. When we did a vision campaign back in 2013, when we did the carpet and the baptistry and some other things, we called it These Walls, our finances went down. They went down. And God was good to us. But I want you to know, hearing God's voice, knowing it's time to take a step of faith, scared me. It made me nervous. But can I tell you, if we really want to see what God has for us, that radical obedience piece has got to be there. And so I took a step of faith and I took it to the board and I said, God, this is what I feel like God's hearing, or what I feel like God's speaking. And we decided, okay, we're going to take a step of faith. And I'm telling you, that lobby right now, that's a step of faith. That is a step of faith. Are you hearing me? It's a step of faith. God puts it in our path. Where he guides, he provides. Number two, God miraculously multiplies what's given. He miraculously provides what is given. Sometimes he does it all, like with Jonah and the big fish. But sometimes God wants to build your faith and invites you to be a part of the miracle. What does God do? How does that happen? He says, you know what? If you'll give, I'll multiply what you give. If you'll give this, I'll provide, I'll multiply, I'll take care of it, I'll move inside of that. When did God multiply the widow's oil? When she started pouring. When did God multiply the loaves of the fish? When they were offered. When did God make Abraham a father of many nations? When he offered his first and only son. Are you following what I'm saying here? Again, this is not a prosperity gospel. I'm not telling you give $100, you get a Ferrari, praise God. That's not what I'm saying. That's not where we're going. But what I am saying is this. If we will really, truly be faithful and we'll really follow his lead and we'll be radically obedient and give, he will multiply it to what we're giving towards and back towards us. But the fact is, we don't give to get. We give knowing he'll take care of it. There's a difference. There's a difference. We got to be intentional on that. Why? Because scripture makes it very, very clear. God miraculously multiplies what is given. 2 Corinthians 9:10, and this is the Passion Translation. It says, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies what you sow it. Grab a hold of that last part. He multiplies as you sow it. This principle, follow me, this principle goes way back to the tithe. This principle goes back before the law was even put in place. The tithe is with Abraham and Melchizedek. That was even before Moses put the law in place. God takes it that far back, and you're like, what does that mean? That means we see all the way back to the life of Abraham. When we give, God blesses. One of the best ways to worship God and acknowledge that he really is our provider is by worshiping him every time he gives an increase. Like, all right. Gives an increase is not a pay raise. That, yes, an increase is every time that paycheck hits your account. Are you with me? It's when you say, you know what, God bless me. Let me tell you, many of you may not know this. 70% of my tithe, Pastor Sterling's tithe, Pastor Preston's tithe, along with any other AG credentialed ministers in here, 70% of our tithe goes to the district and the section. 30% of our tithe comes to the church. And it'd be not, anyways, I'm just kidding. I'm really not kidding. But here's where I'm going with that. I have a second account in my bank that I transfer my 70% of my 10% into an account, and once a month it goes to the assemblies. They do that. We get paid every Saturday morning. Okay, that's when it hits our account. First thing I do Saturday morning after I plug in the coffee maker, because priorities. All right. I plug in the coffee maker, I open up my app, and I tithe that percentage. Why? Because that's a first fruit. Before I'm paying my house payment, before I'm paying any of those other things, I'm taking care of that piece. God blesses when we take that step and we can worship him. Really, what a tithe is it's returning to God the 10% that he trusts to us. That tithe belongs to him anyways. Scripture makes that very clear. But can I challenge something for 1 second? Especially those of you that have been in church for a long time and you've been tithing a lot. Can I challenge you to go beyond the law of the tithe? Paul makes it very clear that God loves a generous heart. Instead of it just being my 10%, because I got to give my 10%, because let's be real, sometimes our tithe can be this. Let's move to a place of generosity. I can't believe I had a 20. Do you know that? Man, I don't have a 20. But here's the thing. If we'll shift our mindset away from it just being the letter of the law of the tithe, and it being a place of just being generous, it goes beyond that. And guess what? When we're generous, God's even more generous. There's a lot at work there. Because I want you to know, that's the only time in scripture though where God says, test me and see if I won't do it. Take a step out and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and bless you. Because I want you to know, there have been times in mine and Glenda's marriage where it's been tight. Like, don't know how this is gonna work tight. And more than once, different things have happened. I remember one time in particular, we were really struggling, like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. We were youth pastoring, and somebody knocked on the door, and I opened it up. There's somebody from our church. He had tears in his eyes, and he handed me $200 bills and said, I don't know what this is for, but God told me to give this to you. I was like, I'm telling you what it's for. God just provided. God provides at the right times, always. So that idea, we know that God's done that because we've obeyed. And can I just be honest with you? It is a miracle when God does more with my 90% than I could do with my 100. That's a miracle by itself. God multiplies what's given. Now, if you're newer to Journey Church, I'm not a money preacher. I'm not, but I want you to walk in blessing. There's a difference. But I want to give you an example, because God multiplies what's given individually, but also what is given corporately. Let me go back to the charge for just a minute. I told you, our finances went down in 2013. And that was a $50,000 goal. Now we're at a $350,000 goal. I'm like, scared me. And God really challenged me. He said, it's time to take a step of faith. So the board and I were talking about, I've been praying, and I want you to know, we spent months before we ever brought it to you guys in October. We're praying, and I told the guys, I said, here's what I'm believing God for. I said, I need you guys to pray with me on this. I'm asking God to give us $350,000 in commitments, and that we'll have a seed offering of $35,000, which would have been the largest special offering ever given in this church that I'm aware of since I've been pastor. And they said, okay, Pastor, I think God will do more. I was like, I wish my faith was as strong as yours. I'll be real. And we came into that offering that day, and I'll never forget it because I stood right here, and we had that basket here, and I watched you guys line up, and you brought down your faith promises and your offerings. And about halfway through it, all I could do was cry. Because I put myself out there. I took a step of faith that scared me. And I still didn't know if it was all there or not. I don't know. We held it up. We blessed it. And when they came back to me, they said, hey, so just so you know, you had $388,000 worth of commitment to the offering was just under 50 grand. I was like, what? Why? Because God multiplies what's given. And I was worried. I was worried that what this step of faith might do to the general fund because we've got bills to pay. I want you to make sure you think about this for just a minute. And please don't be like, wow, he is a man of faith, because it scared me too. But you know what? I've got a family in the Wilborns, and I've got a family in the Reedies that their full-time incomes are dependent on this church. Mine is as well. And guess what? My wife, she works part-time, but guess where she works? So my kid's getting to eat and having like electricity and shoes. And here I am saying, hey, let's challenge 25% of our giving. Guess what? In the natural, that makes zero sense. Zero. But God provided. God keeps moving. He keeps going. And I'm telling you, we see God as faithful. We see, and I want you to hear me. This is the reason I'm telling you all of this right now, is God is not worried about just raising funds. God will take care of the funds. God is wanting to raise your faith. God is wanting to stretch you and develop you, because guess what? If you could say, I'm going to make a commitment and I'm going to give to this, and God shows himself faithful, then 3 years, 5 years, 7 years down the line, when you're in a place where you need God to show up, you can say, I know if he did it once, then I know he'll do it again. And if God provided here, he'll take care of this here. Church, let's get a hold of this morning, because we serve a God who can do abundantly and exceedingly more than we can begin to ask or think. We serve a God who was and is to come. He's still dealing with what we messed up, and he's waiting on us in the future. And if he's already there, he'll provide for you. But it only comes with obedience, radical obedience. God showed himself faithful October 28th. When we took up that offering. And for the past several months, he showed himself faithful. But let me further that just a little bit. Because God, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little thick. God has to be very with me. God, I don't recommend that. That did not feel good. But here's the thing. That next day, October 29th, Russell and I get on a plane to go to South Africa for a mission trip. We fly out, and I don't know, like it felt like it took a month to get there. We get there, we spend some time in London, we get into South Africa, and while we're there, we're doing vision stuff, we're seeing different missionaries that we support, and incredible, incredible trip, praying and connecting. That following Sunday, we're in South Africa, we're in Durban, and we went to church with them. And by the way, I like living kind of how you guys do. I got there like 10:35. Yeah, see me? Russell and I were like, so that's what this is like with my cup of coffee going in when I want to go in. All right. I see how that is. Oh, come on. You guys are killing me. Is this on? But so we're in the back. We come in. We worship. Then we go and we have lunch. Anyways, I'm telling you all this because we go to the missionary's house, the Fogelmans, really close friends of mine. We're having dinner. They're 8 hours ahead. So 7:30, 8 o'clock at night there, it's noon here. Football games are just starting to kick off. And so he has some online, so we're watching a football game, and I get a text from the board, and they're counting the offering, and they said, hey, just so you know, somebody just gave the largest one-time offering we've ever seen for the general fund. And I was like, I texted them back, this is not something to mess with me about. And they said, no, really. God answered prayer. The fear, the very fear that I had as I stepped out, God answered it that next week. I'm telling you, when you give, God multiplies it. 2013, we were struggling financially. I've shared this with you. We weren't, God blessed us. We started tithing to missions. God started to bless us. Now we support 79 missionaries and missions organization, I believe. We also serve and we give to Feed by Grace. We do that regularly. Church, I want you to hear me. The building has been painted. Signs are coming in. We're in the middle of a remodel. Why? Because you've been faithful, you've been obedient, and God has blessed. This is not being done so that I can go tell my friends at district council, guess what I did at my church? This is going to be for the glory of God so that somebody can come in and say, this church was thinking about me, and they can meet with Jesus and lives can be changed. That's why we're doing what we're doing. God takes care of us. He will move. So when he guides, he provides. In other words, when we pursue him, his provisions will follow. Number two is God miraculously multiplies what's given. Let me just say it this way. Let me sum it up here. What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. What you keep is all you'll have. What you give, God multiplies. Number three, you just might be a part of a miraculous provision. You just might be a part of a miraculous provision. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Let me unpack that for 1 second. Someone might get saved in another country because you chose to give to a missionary. Someone might come to know Jesus on our online stream because you gave to where we could afford the technology to do it. Do you understand what I want you to understand? Marriages could be healed because this church was able to minister to people. People could be saved in this place. People who might not be able to afford their mortgage or their rent, their need could be met all because you gave. I want you to understand, when you give, we're incredibly accountable with the finances. Okay, we have all kinds of procedures and policies. You know why? It's God's money, and I'm not interested in monkeying with that. All right? I'm open. I am completely comfortable with transparency on those things. But I need you to hear me. When you give, Pastor Michael hit on it, we're pouring into kids. When you give, we're pouring into youth. When you give, we're discipling. When you give, we're ministering to families. When you give, lost people come to know Christ. When you give, we can give other parts of the world. When you give, God can do things. My question is, will you be faithful? Will you be obedient? See, because let's be real for just a minute. Fear will ask, what if I run out? Faith says, what do I have that I can give? Fear says, what if I don't have enough? Faith says, my God is more than enough. Fear says, I can't afford to tithe. Faith says, 90% with God's blessings will go further than my 100% ever did. Fear says, I don't think I can afford to step out. Faith says, I can't afford not to. I'm going to give you an example real quick of God's provision. Chris and Jacqueline Pruitt. You heard me say a minute ago, Miss Jacqueline serves on our staff as a volunteer. She's in every one of our staff meetings. So she hears ideas and thoughts and processes when they're in their infancy and when most of them are shot down and they need to be most of the time. But when we started talking about the charge, I leaned on the staff and I said, I realized something. You guys don't make as much money as most people in the house. I'm just being real. I said, but this is a faith piece. It is not a logistics piece. And I said, I want to challenge you. Let's give. I said, I want you to lead the way with me. And I told them, and most of you know, I took a step of faith. We're going to do $10,000 personally. That's more money than we have, just to be real. I wrote a check for $10,000. It would bounce for days. I mean days. For believing God. And I told the staff, I said, I need you to lead. And I stretched them and I leaned into them harder than I did the board. And I leaned into the board pretty hard. Because we need to lead in this. Chris and Jacqueline took a step of faith and they said, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to give a certain amount to the charge. Pretty quick, a little bit after that, God blessed Chris with a promotion. Got a little bit of a bump. It was nice. But they're still having to believe God. And their words to me were, we didn't know where it was going to come from. I don't know about you guys, but there are times I don't know where it's going to come from. First Wednesdays at Journey Church. It's the first Wednesday night of the month. We have a night of worship where we combine our adults and we come here and we worship. And the first one of March, we prayed for miracles. We prayed for miracles. Jacqueline, I believe, is sitting right about there. And she got a text message. Can we talk? And she said, typically, it's not always the best. She said, okay. I'm telling you this, and you don't need to worry about some of the details because honestly, some details are private and they need to stay that way. Okay? She had been expecting an inheritance for more than 4 years on a house. It was completely paid for. She'd been waiting on this. It just seemed like it was never, ever, ever going to happen. Never. So much so that they had even said, you know what? Let's forget about it. Let's not even worry about it anymore. They'd gotten almost to that point. The text message, when she called, they said, you know what? It's yours. And they've already signed the forfeiture paperwork over to her. She'll be getting all of that in the next couple of weeks, free and clear. But here's what she said to me. She said, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this happened because we gave. We gave. So here's my challenge to you this morning. What is it you're really believing God for? What piece? Because I believe the chances are really good. Every one of us are in a place where we're believing God. When there's going to be a piece of obedience that we're not comfortable with. I'm walking it leadership-wise, but guess what? God's starting to speak to me personally about a different stretch for my family. Because I was ready to go. I had it figured out how I was going to pay those bills. I lost that income. But not God's not in heaven going, didn't see that coming. It's a step of faith. What is it that you're believing God for? What piece of obedience is really there for you? Where can you take a step out? We're talking about miracles of provision. You say, you know what? I think God will help me do this for the charge. He'll let me do this for my house. Or he'll let me do this or he'll let me do that. And your friends may say, you know what? When pigs fly, and that may be on a natural level, yes. But I'm telling you, God is a God of more than enough. And I want you to hear me this morning that God is prepared to minister to your needs. The ultimate miracle, though, is a miracle of a life that's changed. I'm going to ask you if you would close your eyes and bow your heads for one moment. Father, speak into this house. Do a work, God, that only you can do. Touch us, challenge us, stretch us, make us what you want us to be, Father. Give us courage to respond in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Journey Church On Demand. We would love for you to visit us in person for one of our Sunday morning worship services. If you have questions, need prayer, or would like to connect with us, feel free to visit us at JourneyChurchDFW.com.